Welcome to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. We pray that this message will strengthen and encourage you. Now here's a message from Pastor Paul Ogando.
Today we're going to be focusing mainly on two books of the Bible. So if you have one of those Bible that has a marker, or if you have your iPhone or iPad, that's okay too. If you go to John, book of John chapter 21 and mark it, and then go to the book of Luke. And we're going to start in chapter 5. We're going to start in chapter 5. So John 21, you mark it there. If you have one of these little ribbons thing, and then you go to Luke chapter 5. And so this is so, what we're going to look at today, we're going to navigate through a very interesting subject. As a matter of fact, part of this message came to me when Pastor Luke was teaching on Peter, and I had read in my own personal time, in my own devotional time, John chapter 21, and then he covered, talking about Peter, Luke chapter 5, and so they collide in such a beautiful way, and I want to communicate that today because I believe God spoke to my heart personally about this, and I want to bring it out to you. Jesus uses such an interesting phrase, and I don't want you to dismiss what we're going to talk about today just by the simplicity of the phrase. The phrase might sound simple and almost very common, but that doesn't diminish the value that it has. For tonight, I want to call this message Following Jesus. Wow, that sounds like a no-brainer. Sounds like a very Christianese kind of term, and an understanding. If you're ever in the gospel, if you've ever been in a church, you understand it's following Jesus. A lot of people talk about it and say it, but as I study the life of the disciples and people, I'm starting to understand that following Jesus is a little more complex and a little more profound and a little more amazing and important for every Christian to understand. In the book of John, you don't have to go there. I'll read it for you. I believe chapter 10. He says the following. He says in John 10, 27, very, very famous, says, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me." Jesus makes this amazing statement that sounds so simple but so profound. He says, "My sheep hear my voice." You know what Jesus is saying? There's an implication that you and I have the capacity to hear what God may say to us. You have the capacity in you to hear what the Spirit of God is saying. Therefore, he's saying, "My sheep hear my voice." If you're part of this, you can hear what I have to say. And then he goes, and I know them. Oh, wow. How amazing that the God of the universe knows you and knows me. You're not alone. We sang it today. You're not in your own little world, in your own little problem. There's something greater at work. He says, "I know them." If you're part of my flock, if you're part of the process, if you're giving your heart to me, if we're walking together, I know you. And then he says something even more profound. He just doesn't say, "You can hear my voice and I know you." He says, "You know what? If you can hear my voice and I know who you are, then you follow me." And that really is what this whole thing is all about. Is the ability to follow Jesus, is the ability to make an investment in following Jesus in every aspect of our life. Following Jesus is profound. Following Jesus is like the staple of what we're trying to do as Christians. And so when we look at a phrase, following Jesus, it sounds cliche, it sounds, "Oh yeah, I'm following Jesus, brother." But we're gonna look at today how many times Jesus says the same thing, "Follow me, follow me, follow." He's trying to communicate something. Let me tell you a story. If you've heard this story, bear with me. If you haven't, then it'll be new information for you. But many years ago, probably 1999, maybe year 2000, I was in South America in Peru. And so my wife's family and a couple of friends and us, we were going into a small town in the jungles of Peru. This small town is so tiny, there's only two ways, either many, many hours through the jungle by bus and terrible terrain, or you can take a plane. But because it was such a small town, the plane only went to town twice a week, on Mondays and on Thursdays. So we planned our trip around that. Okay, we're going to fly in on Monday, minister throughout the week, fly out on Thursday, and then do some more ministry in Lima, in the capital of the country. And so, you know, we embarked on this trip. We bought our plane tickets. And so we landed in this small town in the jungle, and everything was great. The ministry time was absolutely fantastic. I mean, amazing. Deliverances, healings. It was unbelievable. We happened to be there, we didn't know, on the week of the anniversary of the town. So, you know, the mayor of the town finds out, "Man, there's some Americans here and tourists and ministers, because we're doing an event in the park. I want to have them over in my office." My wife's uncle, who was very prophetic, said, I have a word for you. I want to pray for you. The mayor was absolutely open. Sure, we go in there. He prays for him. Beautiful time together. In our team, there was two local guys from Peru. But one of them, that afternoon when the mayor invited us to go to his office, he was tired. He said, you know, I'm going to stay in my hotel room, and then you guys go. So we went and took pictures with him, pray with him, and he was so excited. He's like, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to make you guys our honored guest tomorrow in our parade. I want you to be there next to me, and I will type up a letter recognizing you guys as honored guests in my town. Wow, you know, it's a big deal. It's a small town. Anybody would know, you know what? Ah, it's a small town, whatever. But the Bible says that anybody in authority has the backing of God. And so we believe that, and so we pray for him. He gives us this letter. My wife's uncle has the letter in his back. Thursday arrives, time to go. We get to the airport. And so we get to the airport. We're ready, put our bags down. No plane. All right, well, let's start. Hey, where's the plane? We're supposed to depart. Well, there's no plane. And so we're waiting. Is the plane late? Well, they're calling Lima. Where's the plane? Where's the plane? I mean, we're stuck deep in the jungle. Where's the plane? Finally, we get word from the airline saying, hey, there was no passengers flying out of Lima to the town, so we're going to fly an empty plane and pick you guys up, so forget it. So there goes our money. They just left us there. So I was like, awesome, you know? So in the airport, here we are, you know, we get together, and so we start praying, Lord, you know, help us. And so one guy hears us kind of praying, the commotion, what's going on? I mean, there's hardly anybody flying, and he says, you know what? I know that there's an Air Force base, and from the Air Force base here in town, there's a plane that goes to Lima every day to bring supplies and people that need help. So the guy's on our behalf. He goes, gets on his motorcycle, bing, going through town with one of our friends, and he gets there, talks to the guy at the Air Force base, hey, you know, and then what turns out is he says, hey, come over, let's all go there. So we all go to the Air Force base. We're outside at the gate, right? There's military there, and one of the guys in charge of the Air Force says, well, you know what, there's a problem with this. He said, this airplane is designed for supplies and for low-income people, which obviously we're not. We can afford an airplane ticket, but we just didn't have an airplane to pay for it. So we're just kind of there, you know? And so we're like, man, and out of the blue, I mean, we know it's a spirit. My wife's uncle says, but you know what? We're friends with the mayor. I mean, now what a way to, you know, kind of slide it in there, hey. Hey, we're friends with the mayor of Sapozoa, the town. We're friends with the mayor of Sapozoa. He's like, really? You're friends with the mayor? Well, if you can prove that, maybe we can let you on the plane. Well, out comes the letter. You know? Hey, so, hey, right here. It says right here. And the guy says something so amazing. He grabs the letter, reads it, you know, honor guests in Spanish. And he says the following thing. He says, if your name is on this letter, then follow me. Those were probably the most important words to us at that moment. If your name is on this letter, then follow me. And he walked us straight into a plane, and we landed in Lima at the time we needed to be there by the grace of God. Now, give a hand to the Lord. It was a fun testimony. What's amazing is not that that happened to us, but this. Our relationship with that mayor allows us to get a benefit that we otherwise wouldn't be able to have. Yet our relationship with Jesus has endless possibilities. But in order for Jesus to lead us, we must follow him. And that's the important part of this. See, we knew the mayor gives us access to things we didn't have access to. You know Jesus and gives you access to things you normally don't have access to, but you must follow him to get there. And this is what we want to talk about tonight. How do I get there? How do I follow Jesus? Following Jesus. I want to answer that statement. Following Jesus is rewarded by faith. Following Jesus is rewarded by faith. Go to Luke chapter 5, and we'll start tonight there. In Luke chapter 5, it's a fascinating episode. Pastor Luke alluded to this and in his teachings, and when I was reading, it was so interesting. So here's Jesus, right? Jesus yet is not very famous. He's just a teacher among many, to be honest, because there was many rabbis at the time, and Jesus, as you read the word of God, he's called rabbi or master or teacher. So there was many that could teach the law of the time. Jesus was not famous yet. As a matter of fact, he had no disciples in this portion of the word of God. So Jesus is teaching the people. He's teaching the crowd, and everybody's kind of listening. And you know, obviously, he's one of the best, or if not the best, obviously, in this process, in teaching the truth of the word of God. So he's there. And it says that the disciples, they weren't disciples yet. It says that Peter, sons of Zebedee, and another guy there, and they were there cleaning their nets. They were fishermen. That was their job. They were cleaning their nets, and it makes it very clear the Word of God says that they caught nothing. They went out to fish, and they got nothing. And if you know, I don't know a lot about fishing, but I know in the sea, in the ocean, the best way to fish is at night. And when I lived in Peru, there was two coastal towns that you can even smell the fish when you drive into town. There's so much fish going on. And so everybody goes out early, midnight, you know, early, and lay out the net. And they go back in the morning and get it. Why? Because when the sun hits the surface of the ocean, fish go down to the colder waters. So the disciples know their job. They've been working all night. They're stringing their nets. They're bringing it out absolutely empty. They're cleaning it, getting all the junk, all the seaweed, everything, while Jesus is teaching. So, see, I just want you to know that multitasking was not invented today. So they're working and listening. So if your husband says he's working and watching TV, he is. Leave him alone. No, I'm kidding. So the disciples are cleaning their nets and they're going at it, right? And so, but they're listening to Jesus. Like, man, this guy's an interesting teacher. You know, he's teaching and I'll keep cleaning and doing my job. And so it says that so many people came that Jesus started backing because they were, you know, getting closer and he's almost in the water. So he says, he jumps in one of the boats, Peter's boat, says, hey, would you push it off the shore a little bit? So he is. So Jesus is standing on the boat teaching the people and we pick it up. Right there, if you go with chapter 5, verse 5, says, Simon, Jesus tells him, hey, listen, let's go in. Turns around and says, let's go in so we can do this. Simon answered, Master, we've worked hard all night. I'm reading the international version because I like how it tells it. International version says, Simon answered, Master, we've worked hard all night and haven't caught anything. But because you say so, I would let down the nets. This is such a profound teaching, and believe me, as a teacher of the Word of God, I taught this verse so many times on the basis of faith, but here's what's amazing that I didn't realize till now is that Peter was not yet a follower of Christ. It's not like Peter's saying, man, I know that's my Jesus, I'm going to do what he says. No. Peter did it out of respect. Peter's like, well, this guy's a rabbi, you know, kind of awkward. People are looking at me, hey, an important person is telling you to do something, so you better, out of respect, out of your word, I will go ahead and do this. You know what God is testing? Jesus wanted to know, would you follow? Would you follow? Because later on, he's about to ask him a very profound question. So Peter says, listen, I've done my job, but at your word, I will do that job. And for us who follow Christ, this is so important. If you're a car salesman, if you're a person in office, you've done your job so many times and come up empty. Ask God. Ask Jesus. Say, Jesus, how do I do this? And follow him. Because faith is rewarded. Faith is rewarded when we follow. And we're talking about faith all this. I don't know how many months we'll be covering faith in chapter 11, but it's really important that you know that faith is rewarded. Peter said, I'm going to go ahead and do it at your word. Continue saying, look what it says, verse 6. When they had done so, that's another message right there by itself. When they had what? I mean, you can have the greatest idea in the world. If you didn't do anything about it, it was just a phenomenal idea, period. And it's so, I mean, this is so profound. He said, listen, I'm giving you something. And when they have done so, when they did it, it said they caught such a large number of fish that their nets began to break. So they signal their partners in the other boat, come and help them, to help them. And they came and filled both boats so full that they began to sink. Are you kidding me? I mean, these guys have worked so hard on their own. Peter wasn't just any fisherman. Peter had done this all his life. His daddy was a fisherman. He was a fisherman. This is not new to them. This is their job. This is their deal. This is their business. But they've never done that much work ever in their life until Jesus told them to do it. I'm going to tell you something tonight. If you've ever done your job your way, follow him starting tonight. Follow him starting tonight. Set your mind and said, I'm going to do it in faith. I'm going to do it in faith that I will follow what Jesus is saying, because you're going to find yourself absolutely not being able to sustain what he's asking you to sustain what he's giving you if you start saying, God, I'm going to do it your way, not my way. And it's so important for us to do that, because faith is rewarded when we follow Jesus. For he said, then he says to them when they saw so much, verse 8, when Simon Peter saw this, he fell at Jesus' knees and said, look what he says, go away from me, Lord, I am a sinful man. You know what Jesus just did? I mean, Peter just had a conversion. Peter said, man, right here, I knew you were a teacher. Now I know you're Lord. Now I know you're Christ. Now I know you're something beyond amazing. And I cannot be in your presence. That is so awesome for us to see that when we have faith, God is going to surprise us in a way that we'll say, God, I'm too small. Isaiah said, I am a man of unclean lips. I mean, woe is me. I mean, he just realized this is what you are is unbelievable. But it only happens when we decide to follow Jesus. Verse 9 says, for he and all his companions were astonished at the catch of fish they had taken. It's an understatement. Verse 10 says, and so were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, and when we read about them a lot, Simon's partners. Then Jesus said to Simon, listen to this, don't be afraid. Wouldn't you be afraid? It would be kind of like, wow, how did that just happen? From now on, you will fish for people. And that is so important. Because when Jesus is asking us to follow him, listen to this, he's going to give you a purpose. He's going to give you a purpose because God is not intending for you to just kind of coast by, live by, do whatever. No, he's going to set a purpose in your heart. But that purpose, for you to complete it, you have to do it in faith. You cannot approach your purpose in God just kind of willy-nilly. There's got to be faith behind what you're doing. Peter kind of heard him out and said, you know what? This guy just showed me in my physical labor something he can do in a greater measure in my spiritual world. And God is so practical that way. God is so practical for us to see. Verse 11 says, so they pull their boats up to shore. Look at this, on shore, and says, left everything and follow him. Would you read that line with me, that last line? 1, 2, 3. Left everything and followed him. Wow. I mean, Peter was just like, what just happened to me is so unbelievable. I'll do whatever you ask me to. And it says, they left everything and follow him. They left everything and went with Jesus and started walking. Why? Because Jesus is going to reward them by faith. The story doesn't end there. Because following Jesus, this is very important, it's a daily commitment. Following Jesus, it's a daily commitment. Have you ever been to church or have you ever had a spiritual experience? You're like, man, I know it's happened to me. Maybe you're more spiritual than I am, but great Sunday. You know, worship was amazing. Salvation, I mean, just great. And then you wake up Monday and feel like the devil owns you. No, I'm the only one. All right, well, then you're more spiritual than me, maybe. You know what happens. You have this great spiritual experience. You feel awesome. And then the next day you're like, what in the world's going on? Everything just sort of goes the wrong way. And that is why following Jesus is a daily commitment. The doses you get tonight, not going to cut it tomorrow. And what you get tonight, let me see if I can squeeze this one out to Sunday. Or maybe, I got to go to Sabbath because I'm not going to make it a Sunday, you know. It's a daily commitment. It's a commitment. My eyes are open in the morning. God, I'm recommitting to this process. God, I'm engaging my heart with you. I want to follow you today. Things are going to come my way. I may not be crazy about, but I'm going to commit today, this day. It's a daily commitment. Give a hand to Christ if you're going to clap. It's for him. Where we're about to read in Luke chapter 9, Jesus is at the prime of his ministry in this description. Jesus is at the top. I mean, we're talking, the guy is just in every TV channel possible, and every stadium is full. I mean, you name it, you convert it to today's terminology, and it wouldn't even compare. Jesus is doing things that is absolutely unbelievable. If you read from chapter 8, he healed a woman that had been sick from issue of blood for 12 years. And in chapter 9, he resurrects Jairus' daughter. He continues on and feeds 5,000 men. So people equal to that to probably between 15 and 20,000 people. They say, some theologians say that is the largest crowd he probably ever had in front of him. I mean, he is at the prime of ministry, doing amazing things. The disciples are right there in the middle of all this stuff, just seeing it with their own eyes. Jesus is activating them in ministry. They're doing amazing things. And then they have a conversation. Jesus does the miracle of the feeding, then brings him to the side. And other gospels have different ways to present it. And so you know, so I know you know this, but I'll just remind you. Matthew and John were eyewitnesses of Jesus. They were there. They were part of the crowd. Mark was a friend of Peter's and wrote kind of from that perspective. And then Luke was a man who did an investigation. As a matter of fact, Luke chapter 1 starts by saying, I thoroughly investigated all this, writing to a friend named Theophilus. So he's saying, listen, this is what I've researched. So I love reading both the book of Acts written by Luke and also the book of Luke. Luke because he is just so detailed in his approach. And so he's bringing us all this detail, this conversation, saying, I talked to this guy. And so Jesus brings him aside and says, who do the people say that I am? You remember that? And so everybody, yeah. And so everybody's answering is awesome. And you know the answer. Peter, you know, says, hey, you know, you're awesome. And this is what you are, you know, and you're the Christ. And so you know the story. Goes great. Jesus finally says, hey, listen, I'm going to tell you something that's really important for you to commit to what we're going to do. And then we see it in verse 22. Then it says like this, says, saying, in verse 21 says, and he has strictly warned them and say, don't tell anybody. Don't tell anybody what you know that I am the Christ, because he knew they were going to kill him for that information. Don't do that. Verse 22 says, and saying, the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and be raised in the third day. And so right now, everybody's kind of like, you know what? Man, that sounds tough, but that's Jesus saying that's going to happen to him. He didn't say you guys, you know? So everybody's kind of like, all right, we understand. But then verse 23 says, then he said to them all. Oh, anytime the word of God says he said to them, he's saying it to who? To us. He's bringing it to us. Jesus says, I'm telling you what I'm about to suffer, but I want to tell you something. Then he said to them all, if anyone desires to come after me, I'm going to ask you a personal question tonight. Are you here because you desire more of Christ? Then here's what he's saying to you. If you decide to come after me, let him deny himself. Take up his cross daily and follow me. Daily and follow me. Some scriptures don't bring up the word daily, but I like how it says it here, daily. He said, take up your cross, and just so you know, your mother-in-law is not your cross. It is not that. It's a completely different thing, okay? He's saying, denying daily. There is a self, there's something that you must do in your own heart, in your own self, that you have to say, you know what? I have to put aside my own desire, because it is a daily commitment in Christ. It is a daily commitment that you have to put aside. And this goes for everyone. Pastor Jim has always taught us, listen, we are not more anointing than you to live out the word of God. We have an anointing to teach it because God called us to do so. But in order to live it, we have to put the same amount of effort every day. Every day I have to recommit to Christ. Every day I have to figure out how to love my wife, how to take care of my children and love them too. Every day I have to get excited about what I do. Every day I have to refocus my relationship with God on a daily commitment. Why? Because I have to take up my cross, deny myself, deny my wants, deny certain things that I may want that I think are beneficial. And God is saying, not today, daily. And follow who? Follow me, follow Christ. And Paul says it very well. He says, follow me as I follow Christ. He was telling them. He said, you can have examples of people in your life, but as long as they are following Christ, that is the only way that works. Because following Christ, it's a daily commitment. I'm going to invite you tonight to make a daily commitment in your walk with Christ. That tomorrow when you open your eyes and say, today, Lord, is a fresh day, is a fresh commitment. I don't know what's coming my way today, but I will put them in your hands right now. I will recommit to living life as a Christian. I will recommit to being connected to you. When you do that, something changes. When you do that, Christ becomes active in your life, because now you're saying, I'm not following my way, my desire, my want. I'm following what you want this day, Father. And it's so powerful. I mean, even in the prayer, and if you grew up Catholic, as many of us Hispanics do, you know, we were taught the prayer, Jesus' prayer. You know, the prayer, we're always done a prayer. We say, Father, give us our daily bread. Help us today, lead us not. I mean, Jesus was saying, listen, that prayer is teaching you about doing something daily, committing daily, believing daily for provision, believing daily for forgiveness, believing daily for the kingdom of God to become active in your life, believing daily for something to happen. Don't hang on yesterday's miracle to carry you for the rest of your walk with God, because it won't happen. It won't happen. And I'm going to prove it to you today. You have to hang on to a fresh word. Following Jesus is very important. Following Jesus, we have looked at it. Number one, it's rewarded by faith. Number two, it's a daily commitment. Number three, are you still with me tonight? Yes. It's a financial decision. How is that possible, Pastor? Abraham grabbed what he had and followed Jesus. Moses left what he had and followed God. Elisha left what he had on the field and followed Elijah. The disciples left everything they had and followed him. Here's the challenge for you and I. Here's the challenge. Possessions should never be a factor to not follow Christ. Yeah. possession should never be a factor to not follow Christ. Why? Because why should I let possession stop me from following the one who has it all? It shouldn't be that way. Shouldn't be that way. You should not let what you have separate you from someone who has absolutely everything. That's almost foolish. But we allow that. We allow our possessions. We allow what we have to dictate the way we follow Christ. And following Christ is actually a financial decision that you have to make. You have to let in your heart know that money, that what you own, that what you believe is yours is actually God, and you're going to follow him even in that. And that is a very profound decision. Everywhere in the Word of God that you see a man or a woman following God, they gave up everything they had to follow him. Now, that doesn't mean they lived like homeless. God left them what they had, but the stuff they had did not have them. Do you understand what I'm saying? And so for us, the challenge when we say, I'm going to follow Jesus, I'm saying I'm following Jesus, and I'm making it as a financial decision, an investment in our finances. My wife and I, early when we were dating, we made a choice that we would try not to carry heavy debts in our life, not to do that or to ever entangle ourselves in big businesses and things that would tie us down, because we always wanted to be free to pack up and go at any moment. And this is before we got married. We had made a commitment to each other. We're going to be ready to pack up and go where God calls us. And we've always lived that way. When there's a calling of God in our life, we've packed up what we had and we moved on. We moved on. We came from Las Vegas. I closed down my business in Dominican Republic and moved to South America to be a missionary. I've done other things in my life. She's done those things in her life. It's a personal commitment. I'm not asking you to do it. I'm not holier than you for doing it. But I made a commitment in my head. What I have is not going to tie me down for what he wants for me. Why? Because he has it all. So if he has it all and tells me to go, he's got something else lined up somewhere else. Are you with me? And we have to believe that. We have to believe that. I'll repeat it. Possession should never be a factor to not follow Christ. What I have should never separate me from the one who has it all. Keep that in your heart. Christ has a conversation in Luke chapter 18. And this is where it's getting good, because, you know, the disciples are kind of, ministry is not necessarily going down, but the time of Jesus is ending. If I kind of time it in the book of Luke at this point, is probably 3 years, maybe 2.5 years into Jesus' ministry. And so they're having this conversation, and he's doing great ministry. It's the story of the rich young ruler. You already know the story, but I'll refresh it, your memory. In Luke chapter 18, he presents it this way. Jesus is teaching to the Pharisees and different people, so everybody's hearing him. A young man, a ruler of the age, gets up and says, teacher, rabbi, great master. He says, good master. I mean, you're amazing. And Jesus says, only God is good, but what's your question? What must I do to inherit eternal life, to inherit the kingdom of God? I mean, what should I do? He's so excited. He's hearing from Jesus. He's fired up. I mean, Jesus is preaching an amazing message, and he just can't hold it. What do I do? What do I do to go? You know, what, tell me. And Jesus says, man, you must do, you know, the commandments and obey your parents and do not commit adultery and all this. And the guy says, oh man, I'm in. I mean, I've done that since I was a kid. I'm awesome, Jesus. And Jesus says, well, you know, okay, one more thing. He says, one more thing. And he tells him the one thing he wants us to give. And so Jesus started challenging this guy and saying, listen, I want you to do this. Verse 22, if you see it there. Verse 21 says, all these things I kept from my youth. Look, verse 22 says, so when Jesus heard these things, he said to him, look at this. He said, you still lack one thing. He said, okay. So I'm 90% there. I'm good to go. Basically, my foot is in the door. He's going to give me the one thing I need, which I feel I have. And here it is. Sell all that you have, distribute to the poor, and you will have treasures in heaven. And look. And come and what? Ah. Wow. Sell everything you have. Give it all to the poor. You will make treasures in eternity. And I want you to do something. I want you to follow me. Guess what? Jesus wasn't even interested in his money. And that's the fallacy that a lot of times we believe today, that Jesus wants her money. Jesus didn't say, sell everything you have and bring it to our ministry. You don't read that there. No. You don't. Jesus says, sell everything you have and give it to the poor. Jesus didn't want his money. Jesus wanted his heart and his commitment. But he's going to test our commitment and our level of loyalty by what we're willing to hand over. By what we're willing to hand over. Because following Christ is a financial decision. Because finances are so crucial to a life. You get up every morning and you work as hard as you can to provide for your family, for your children, for yourself. You do everything you can to provide retirement so in your elderly age, if possible, you can have something to fall back on. Or if you've invested in Social Security, well, I'll get that little bit and continually. I mean, we are fighting at every angle to maintain our finances in order if we can. Finances are so crucial to a life. And Jesus is saying, because this is so important to you, I don't want it to become more important than me in your life. I don't want it to become that. And so Jesus challenges him and says, listen, you can't do that. I want you to give it all up and follow me. Now, if you go to verse 28 before we read it, let's read verse 28. Because Jesus is saying, hey, you have to give all this up. And people are saying, how can somebody be saved then? This is so complicated, so difficult. Jesus says, no, it's not difficult. There's nothing impossible with Christ. And then look, if you go to verse 28, please. Verse 28, right there on Luke 18 says, then Peter said, man, that guy is always in the middle of everything. This dude is unbelievable. You read it. I've never noticed it till studying for this message, how much and how active this guy is. I mean, he is the voice of the disciples. Somebody needed to be said, tell Peter. He'll find a way to say it, you know? Then Peter said, see, we have left all and followed you. That is so true. You know what Peter's doing? And maybe you're there. You've been walking with Christ, and things haven't lined up the way you wanted them to line up, and you thought it was going to work a certain way. And so you are renegotiating your contract. That's what Peter's doing. Peter said, hey, man, a couple chapters ago, you impressed with a bunch of fish, and, I mean, you blew my mind, so I left everything, left the business, and went with you. But I mean, this guy had money, had everything, and you told him he needed to give you everything to get it. I left everything. What about me? What about me? And I tell you what, I know you felt that way. Halfway through your Christian walk, you've said, God, what about me? What is going on? It is a personal, it is a financial decision that kind of leads you to ask you, Jesus. Peter said, hey, we've left it all to follow you. Give me some good news in this thing. Because they've been at it for a while with Jesus, you know, and Peter took a while to crack. Eventually he did, and he was an amazing man of God. But Peter's a real person, and you can read all about it in Pastor Luke's message. But he's saying, listen, we left everything. Look at verse 29, because this is a promise for you today. And Jesus said, he said to them, assuredly, can you say that with me? 1, 2, 3. Assuredly. Now, Jesus is saying, you can believe me. You can take this word to the bank. I'm telling you that if I tell you, I'm going to do it. That's what assuredly means. Assuredly means I'm backing it. Assuredly means I know who goes before me and I know who comes behind. Assuredly, I know who's backing my play. Jesus is saying, assuredly, I'm going to tell you something. I say to you, there is how many people? There is no one. There is no one, not San Bernardino, not Colton, not Africa, not Latin America, not Europe. There is no one. There is no one who has left house or parents or brother or wife or children. Look, he continues on to say wife or children for the sake of the kingdom of God. Verse 30, who shall not receive many times more in this present time and in the age to come eternal life. And that is God's promise for you. Look, you know what he's saying to you? No, it doesn't matter what you give today. It's not, you cannot compare with what I can give to you. You can't compare it. Can't compare it. And you're going to have to make a commitment that following Jesus, it's a financial decision. Following Jesus means that what I have in the bank, what I can produce, where I live, belongs to you, Christ. That's what belongs to you. And when you make that decision, the clothes that I wear, the things that I believe are mine are actually yours, and I'm going to live out my life that way. And it's so powerful. It changes your way of thinking. Again, Jesus is not asking you to live. This is not a poverty commitment. That's not what he's asking you to do. He's asking you to do, if you have little or a lot, it all belongs to me. If you live that way, you'll have plenty every time. You have plenty every time. And it's a financial decision you make in your own heart. You have to say, God, you're going to lead me. Because why? No one. He didn't say, well, some people. You know, what happens in the kingdom is we have this formula. And then some people get it and some people don't. You know, no, he said, no one. No one that did that, Peter, I want you to know that no one that does that will ever go without. I will give you many more times of what you gave up, and you will have on top of that, the cherry on top will be eternal life. So live with that. And it's the same for us today. He's saying, there's nothing you can give to him. He cannot give you in a greater measure. I'll end with this. Following Jesus, it's personal. Following Jesus, it's personal. Listen, I want you to go to John 21, and I'll read it out of the NIV, John 21. And this is what just blew my mind when I was reading this, because what we're about to read is exactly what happened in Luke chapter 5. It's set in different circumstances. And this is why Christ makes it so personal for us, that following Jesus, it has to do with you. And tonight, you'll have a personal challenge. What is my part in following Jesus in the way he wants me to follow him? John 21, here's what's happening. Jesus has already resurrected. He's already shown himself several times to different disciples in different areas. Very fascinating part of the scripture. So Jesus is coming to this place. The disciples, it begins in chapter 21 saying, once again, Peter, we're not reading it, but once again, Peter says, hey, forget this, guys. I mean, this guy said he was coming to life and this Christianity thing, and this is not panning out of the way we thought. So I'm going to go back to what I know to do. So I'm going fishing. All the guys are like, well, Peter, I mean, he the man. So if he's doing that, we're all going. So all the guys just kind of follow Peter. Everybody joins the crowd, jump on the boat. They head out to sea. Man, this is sounding so familiar. And it says that they fish all night, all night, all night. Now, at this point, Peter's a disciple. At this point, Peter's a man who's seen Jesus create amazing miracles. At this point, Peter's the man who was right there when Jesus fed the 5,000. At this time, Peter's the man who was there in the transfiguration. At this time, Peter's the man who defended Jesus from the soldiers. At this time, Peter is the man who's being closer to Jesus than any other person. And he's the first one to say, this thing is not panning out. I'm out. I'm going back to what I know. And the word of God says that Jesus came to shore while they were there once again, kind of picking up the leftovers. Verse 6, he said, they don't know. They don't recognize it's Jesus. Verse 5 says, they don't know it's Jesus. So he tells them, hey, boys, throw your net on the right side of the boat, and you will find some. And it says this, when they did. I love this because you know what happened? They kind of already knew, like, man, this is already sounding a little familiar. We did nothing. Then one guy shows up and tells me to throw it on the other side. So, I'll do it. Who knows? They don't know it's Jesus. If you read verse 5, they don't know it's Jesus. It says, and when they did, they were unable to haul the net because it was so full of the large number of fish. Verse 7, then the disciple who Jesus loved, as John, said to Peter, Peter, is the Lord. And as soon as Simon Peter heard him say it is the Lord, he took up his garment and took off for the beach. And Peter realized, this is amazing. This is deja vu. This is the same thing that in Luke chapter 5, this is how he called me. I know this is my master. I know this is he doing the same thing in my life. And you know what? Jesus is that way sometimes. He needs to remind us of the commitment we made on the first day we walked to him right in the middle of the road. Because following Jesus is a personal thing. It's not someone else's. It's you. And if you have to remind yourself of that excitement when you came down here and gave your heart to the Lord, then you got to do that. You got to do that so you don't say, this thing didn't work, I'm out. Jesus is saying, Peter said, you know what? This is the Lord. When John said it, he said, that's it. And he ran to Jesus. Obviously, Peter was a little embarrassed. Jesus said, don't worry about it, boys. Bring the fishes, says the word of God. They brought 153 fishes, so they brought it in. Jesus, grab a few of those fishes. I'm going to make you breakfast. So Jesus is going at it. That's amazing. That's got to be a heavenly breakfast, quote unquote. So that was a bad joke, but you can laugh. So Jesus goes on in this conversation, and in the conversation, Jesus is saying, hey, Peter, you already know the conversation. Do you love me more than these? Yes, I love you. Do you love me? Then serve me, then stay. And so Jesus going, you know what Jesus is doing? He's saying, listen, Peter, man, I know you were going to screw it up, so listen, just relax. I even prophesied it that you were going to do that. Just hear me out. Hear me out. God is so good. Listen, if you feel you've gone too far from God, he's so good in telling you, hear me out. You can come back. Yeah. Hear me out. You can come back. But you're going to have to renegotiate the terms of following him. Yeah. You're going to have to say, you know what? I got to redo this commitment because it's personal. It's personal. Jesus wasn't asking everyone anymore. He didn't say to everyone, come. No, he's talking to Peter saying, hey, listen, do you love me? I want you to do this. I want you to do my commandment. And this is the conversation. Jesus restores Peter to relationship with him. In verse 18 says, very truly, talking about Peter, says, very truly, I tell you, when you were younger, you dressed yourself and went where you wanted. But when you are older, you will be stretched out. You will stretch out your hand, says, and someone else will dress you and lead you where you do not want to go. Now, this is coming in the culmination. Now, check this out. Verse 19, Jesus said this, indicating the kind of death which Peter would glorify God. So he's saying, listen, I'm prophesying how you're going to die. And look at the words. Then he said to him, what did he say to him?
Follow me.
Same words. Then he said to him, follow. Jesus didn't tell him, Peter, you're going to be amazing. You're going to be famous. I mean, the Holy Spirit is going to come upon you. You're going to be the leader of the most awesome Christian movement that ever been. You're going to be the main guy. He didn't say that. He said, I'm going to tell you, man, when you were little, someone dressed you. When you're old, someone's going to walk you to your death. Who wants that prophecy tonight? No one lining up? That's what Jesus, and then Jesus says, hey, but I still want you to. It's a personal thing. It's a personal thing. And so for us tonight, that's what Jesus is asking. It doesn't end there because Peter was a hard guy to crack. You know, so it says the word of God that Peter looked behind him and saw John. Now, John describes himself as the apostle who Jesus loved. So Peter turns around and says, hey, man, you told me how I'm going to die. How about this guy? You're like, encourage me by telling me how bad this dude's going to do, you know? I mean, that would be awesome. And for many of us in our Christian world, because it's personal, we tend to do that. We tend to feel better when we see someone else having a harder time. Deep inside, we say, I'm with you, I'm praying. But internally, you said, man, I wanted to be successful. Now I know. When someone else's success is really hard to clap for someone else. It's really hard to rejoice for someone else. And Peter was there, and I've been there. And you've been there. Peter was like, okay, I know I'm going to die, but this guy has had it good all our lives. I mean, in ministry, he was your buddy. He was with us. He's always, I mean, you left him with your mom. Me, I've been chased around. I was the one fighting. You call me the devil. I mean, say something good. Before you go, say something good, would you? You know, so he's just negotiating the terms again. And this is, Jesus is so beautiful and profound, and I'll end with this. Jesus answered, if I want him to remain alive until I return, what is it to you? What is that to you? Like, nobody's talking to you. No, I'm not asking John anything, but you must follow me. But you must follow me. And tonight, that is the question that God wants to ask you. Would you follow him? Would you make it, even if it's a personal decision, would you make it today? If it's a financial decision, would you decide today? If you have faith, God will reward you for that. You have to do that. You have to say, God, I am committed to this, because following Jesus is a daily commitment in our walk with Christ. Listen to this. Listen to this. Today, it is very important. You remember that trip I took? It's the same way in the spiritual walk. One day, you'll stand in heaven, and your name, if your name is in that paper, somebody's going to tell you, go ahead and follow me. You have access to the kingdom of heaven today. But you have to follow him now in this earth. That is a powerful reality that you and I have to believe. Today, I want to encourage you. Just follow him. Just say, Jesus, I want to follow you from this day forward. God spoke to you tonight. Give him a hand. He deserves it.
Thank you for listening to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. If this message spoke to you, please share it with us. We'd love to hear from you. You can find more information at www.rockchurch.com.